You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
This week, we've talked a lot about religion and how it's handled in the media. The debate is still raging over the hardware chain Lowe's and their decision to pull their ads from the TLC reality show All American Muslim. And yesterday, we talked about America's fascination with Denver Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow. He's an evangelical Christian known for very public displays of faith. Tebow's an interesting case, actually, since evangelicals have actually been outsiders for generations in the United States. Many religions have been different and suspicious to this nation of Protestants, Quakers, and Anglicans. Although Maryland was founded by English Catholics, that faith wasn't really accepted by the mainstream until after the election of John F. Kennedy.
For while this year it may be a Catholic against whom the finger of suspicion is pointed, in other years it has been, and may someday be again, a Jew, or a Quaker, or a Unitarian, or a Baptist.
Mormons still face a lot of prejudice, even after nearly 200 years of practice. A staffer for Newt Gingrich resigned this week after referring to the, quote, cult of Mormon. So what does it take for a religious group to overcome the stigma of being different in the United States? Joining us now, Dr. Naif Al-Mutawa. He's a clinical psychologist and also the creator of The 99, a comic book series of superheroes who are inspired by some Islamic philosophies. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
The United States prides itself on being a place of tolerance and obviously was founded on the principles of religious freedom. Do you think that the U.S. is viewed outside of our borders as a place where that's not really true, where we're not entirely tolerant of other faiths?
You know, growing up, I drank the Kool-Aid that extremism only happened in my neck of the desert and it wasn't around in America and stuff. But, I think, recently the U.S. government just put some money in Pakistan in Sesame Street to kind of promote tolerance. I think that money is probably better served in Florida.
Wow. So, let me just ask you, we were talking a lot about the Muslim faith this week because we have this controversy over the show All American Muslim. But as I said, it's not just Muslims that have faced suspicion in this country. I mean, what do we know about what it takes to kind of overcome that kind of distrust?
You know, the thing is, it's part of kind of basic human psychology makeup. I mean, if you think back to the Stanford prison experiment that was done, I think it was in the 70s, where a group of students, it was just basically volunteers in the street. One group was told that they were now prison guards for this experiment. Another group was given uniforms as guards for the experiment. And the experiment actually had to stop within a couple of days because the guys wearing the guard uniform were actually starting to torture the prisoners, even though they weren't real guards and those guys weren't real prisoners. You know, when we kind of have a color that we identify with and can identify others by other colors, it's kind of the human kind of nature can creep in, especially when there's an in-group and an out-group form. So I think the best medicine is to just constantly be aware that this is some place the brain can go to for good or for bad, and to focus on things that tie us together. So, for example, I'm the biggest enemy of extremism, but extremism in all faiths. But when you start to identify extremism as just part of one faith, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, anybody to do that faith could be a suspect. But if you focus on extremism, full stop, then all of a sudden you have people banding together against that which destroys. And it becomes different, and people don't get caught in the crossfire.
Well, I got to ask, you were speaking with Dr. Naif Al-Mutawa, clinical psychologist, creator of The 99, a great comic book series. But let me ask you, what then does an American Muslim do? We had a one listener call in and say, I feel bitter that we even had to have a show called All American Muslim. I've been American my whole life. Why would I need a show proving that? So what does a Muslim in the United States do?
I think it's important to have shows like that. Whether you like the show or don't like the show, it's kind of, if you think about the Cosby Show, that had made amazing inroads, not just on how white Americans viewed African Americans, but also how African Americans viewed themselves. And I think, media can go a long way towards change in the future. And bottom line is, there's a brilliant essay in the thing of the Chicago Tribune. I'm blanking on the name of the writer, who said, this basically said the criticism of the show of All American Muslim, it's like criticizing the Cosby Show in the 80s for not having one of the family members be part of a black street gang. It's just ludicrous the stuff that's being said. I think it's important. You know, All American Muslim has an important place. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, it's trying to break misconceptions. And even Muslims who rejected the show, which I understand quite a few have, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Not everybody has to like everything. But the bottom line is, this reaction, because of this, more people are going to watch the show. And it's just amazing how these things keep coming out of Florida. You know, whether it was the pastor wanting to burn the Quran last year, and now this, it's fascinating.
Well, you know, honestly, I think that the American Muslims would probably be better served by a high-quality show. I've watched a couple. I'm not a big reality show fan anyway, but The Cosby Show was just a good show. That might have helped it get over.
It was fantastic.
A great show. We were still waiting for that All-American Family sitcom that would raise the bar there. But, you know, let me ask you just one more question. You know, we've also had this discussion going about Muslim athletes. And people have pointed out a number of them. Muhammad Ali converted, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The Americans have been ready to embrace particular figures. There have been a huge number of actors who are Arab-American, who are Muslim, who are accepted and beloved in the United States. Why doesn't that do it?
Because people connect with them not at the level of religion, they connect them at the level of sports, right? So that's the trick. I mean, this is, All-American Muslim is kind of in your face. This is about people who have the faith or are born into the faith, and I think that's what it is. But bottom line is, there's nothing new about this. I mean, people, you know, forever have been rejecting anything that's not like them. It's kind of like, you know, only people like me are good, and everybody else is bad. And we just need to be aware that that's part of somehow how the brain operates, and to be able to put in check those impulses.
In our lifetime, would you think Muslims will be more accepted in the U.S.?
I think so. I have to believe that's possible. I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, bottom line is, if every time we had to do a show about Germans, we had to include a Nazi who burned people, and every time, you know, we mentioned somebody who is black, we had to have a street gang. I mean, that's just kind of ridiculous, right? It's also ridiculous for Muslims to keep being labeled by the bad apples in their patch. So I think we can get there. I think we will get there. It's just a matter of you know, people kind of like lows, not sinking to all-time lows and pulling out of things that they should be supporting.
An unintentional pun there. Dr. Naif Al-Mutawa, clinical psychologist, creator of The 99. We want to get your responses on this. 8778, My Take. Thanks, Naif.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.